Okay.
Yay, adjourned. Good one. Was a really fast meeting. All right.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, so we have a quorum. I will call the CROG Executive Committee meeting Wednesday, January 12th to order. And we will start with opening up for public comment. I don't think there's anybody, but Laura? Or
nope.
Okay, or Pauline, yeah. All right, so no public comment. Approval of minutes. We've been doing unanimous consent for approval of minutes. So if I can make a motion and then ask if anybody objects, and that's kind of how we've been doing it, but if that works for all of you. So I'll make a motion to adopt the to approve the minutes from August 11th, 2021. Is there any objection?
All right. I don't object, and I'll second that motion.
Okay, thank you. Hearing motion's been seconded and hearing no objections, the minutes from August 11th are approved. And we will move right on to correspondence and handouts and return to Pauline.
So this is just the UConn annual, their public service executive leadership collaborative, of which there's CROG is a member. It's opportunities for growth for employees, municipal leaders, and things like that. And these are the topics for this coming spring. And we'll be sending out the individual flyers as well as they come in for those.
Terrific. Thank you so much. And I'm sure there will be some really engaging programs. Terrific. And then we will now go to the chair and executive director remarks and report. Back to Pauline.
So if anybody has any questions about the monthly report that came out this week, this is an opportunity to ask. I think we had we put the highlights at the beginning of that. Also, this morning I sent out the memo on regional projects for our ARPA using ARPA funding as fit for municipal participation. So anybody interested in those should email me. And we've already gotten one response. So I would say by the end of this month would be ideal to move forward with those.
Pauline, really quickly, with the Treasury guidelines change,
mm-hmm.
The need for this is going to be a lot much less. You should be aware.
I'm hoping, thinking they definitely heard a lot of the notes and the comments that people had made with the original guidelines. So
because basically, you know, we're getting about 3 million, and if we call it potentially lost revenue up to 10 million, we can do whatever we want with it as long as it's a governmental service. So it's very, very open now, without any trick hatch doors and stuff like that. So, for the smaller towns, it's going to be very easy to do stuff now. The hard part will just be prioritizing.
Correct. So yeah, that's great. We're ready to help whoever needs help if they need help. And there's also other projects in that list that I think that could be helpful for towns. I think the GIS, we've discussed that, you and I have discussed at least the GIS and the municipal map improvement. So that might be something that you could look into as well.
Just sent Eric an email out of that this morning.
Excellent. I think Laya wants to dance over there.
Oh, that was me. I'm sorry. Oh, COVID's going through my family.
Yeah. Been there, done that. Oh, gosh. All right. So anything else from you, Pauline?
Nope. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So we have we have an action item and then the legislative agenda review. So the action item is a resolution. The resolution. So do you want to, Pauline, you want to just go over that?
Sure. We did an RFP to update and redesign our website to new and improved from the, it's about five 6 years old now already. That time went by fast. And so we did an RFP and we chose BBNG, a company that, and we're pretty excited to be able to do this website update. And we're hoping to do that fairly quickly.
Terrific. So we need a motion and a second, and we'll do a voice vote for this one.
Madam Chair, John Coleman, I move the motion.
Thank you, John. Is there a second?
John also, Cheryl, second.
Second.
Thank you. And all those in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Congratulations. This will be a wonderful upgrade. Appreciate it. All right, moving on along, we will turn to the legislative agenda review. And I don't know whether to go to Lyle or Pauline, but one of you.
Madam Chair, I was going to turn it over to Jason Bowes. I can't see whether he's here.
He is.
Okay, let him introduce it and then I'll follow up. That's okay, Madam Chair.
Great, thank you. Go ahead, Jason. Thanks.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the Legislative Committee has met a couple of times over the last 6 or 8 weeks or so and put together a plan for the coming session that I think will represent what the interests of CROG and our member towns are over the coming year. I want to thank certainly Lyle Ray for his guidance in putting it together, as well as Pauline, John Coleman, John Elsesser, and Bob Lee. We have kind of broken things down in such a way so that it shows kind of some urgency with items and some issues that are familiar to most. I also think that as after the committee has a chance to review the proposal, it would be beneficial from a legislative standpoint if we were to work with Kathy Lutz to find a couple of concrete proposals that are concrete language changes that CROG would be seeking, so that rather than talking about things in kind of a cloud perspective, there is an action, a clear action item that we can try and seek from a legislative standpoint. So I think it's a good document. It went through 6 or 7 drafts before it got to the board. So looking forward to hearing comments from the members and hopefully moving it forward. I think Lyle's going to do a deeper dive into some of the action items, though, kind of as a swan song for him. So thank you again, Lyle, and to everybody else who helped with the document.
Thank you, Jason. I'll make this quick. After the introduction, which I think stands on its own, we still have COVID-19 response and recovery. We're not done. And this details some of the actions. Economic recovery is still big for low-income people, as one of the issues that will be funded under the EDA grant that was achieved. Solid waste management is in desperate need of state attention. As the chair knows, West Hartford, and Matt knows too, you've dodged the bullet by having Covanta, but we have a major statewide solid waste management crisis brewing where we may be going from 500,000 to 1 million tons of raw garbage being landfilled within the next year or two. That's going in the wrong direction from where we've been for 30 years. So it's a long story. We can look for some support there. Transportation, Boston Rail Service is a major deal. The upshot of that is that over 30 years, Boston Rail Service would pump $60 to $80 billion of growth into the Hartford-Springfield region. And to put it simply, there's nothing on the horizon remotely that powerful in terms of economic growth. There's nothing there. And so we are continuing to work on that. And that's one of my bullet points through March 30th is to try and continue to advocate for the Boston Rail Service. Massachusetts State Senator Lesser is making his campaign for governor about the Boston Rail Service. And there's a lot of support for it, but it will need to get some major work done. And we're still dealing with that. Transportation funding, John Coleman and Robert Bob Eloise are here. There's going to be an awful lot of work needed to take advantage both of the allocated funding and the competitive funding for infrastructure for the next 5 years. This is going to be a huge deal, as you know, Mayor Boughton. Now, Commissioner Boughton is chairing this issue for the governor, taking full advantage of that, as I say, both in terms of taking the allocated funds plus competitively looking for opportunities is going to be a major issue. And so we'll have to be on our toes on that. STBG funding in Lhotse, This is going to be an issue in terms of the level of WhatsApp funding and how that relates to the new infrastructure funding. So we'll keep an eye on that. The other one is that we're suggesting CROG be a pilot for DOT delegation to COGS. DOT may be losing 20% of their staff in the next few years, and we're suggesting that regions could pick up some functions and streamline things and move it faster. And CROG before has been a pilot. We did that with the Master Municipal Agreement, and CROG stands ready to be a test bed for streamlining this. There's no reason for DOT to be managing million-dollar projects with a multi-billion-dollar budget, and we can acquire right away for DOT under a letter of delegation. And in Connecticut, DOT has done a lot less delegation to the MPOs than other states, and we think that could be changed. Public service modernization, we all know that the COVID epidemic has shown us the need to have better technology, and this is very, very important to continue moving, whether it's GIS systems or, touchless services. There's a whole series of elements in here that were considered in the Moore Commission's report that I served on. And so there's a lot to be done on public service modernization. Broadband access, John Elsesser has been a major advocate for this, but we certainly need to have broadband access in two areas, the urban areas and the rural deserts, plus having great access for economic development. So we'll keep an eye on that. And then last but not least, Madam Chair, is the funding and roles for councils of governments. Over the last 17 years, I think we've bounced from $15,000 to $800,000 in state contributions, which is considered a lot of variation there. So keeping a stable funding for councils of governments. And then I think something CROG doesn't need to be encouraged to do, but make legislators aware that we want to expand municipal shared services. And this actually plays out quite differently in smaller communities versus larger. Smaller communities need a lot of help on this. Larger communities can certainly benefit from GIS and other kinds of things. So that's a very important element of that. And there's specific examples on how we can move on that. So, Madam Chair, and for members of the executive committee, that's our proposed report. We propose this goes to the full board for final approval, but giving you time to consider it and have any suggestions you might have for corrections. And then we will sit down, and I think we've identified three committees already as priorities, transportation, environment, and planning and development as three committees to meet with pronto related to our agenda, environment for solid waste, planning and development, because that's our major committee, and then, of course, transportation. That provides 40% of our budget. So I'd be happy to answer any questions if there are any, Madam Chair. Otherwise, that's it.
Thank you so much, Lyle, and thank you for your leadership in putting this all together. These, I agree, these are real priorities, and just in our community alone, and Matt knows as well, these are priorities for us. So that's really important. I'll open it up to the floor. Any comments, questions about this, the legislative agenda?
If finally found the unmute button. if I may, I support the legislative platform. I just want to mention, and I'll throw it off to Lyle and Pauline. CEN is actually seeking support for five initiatives that would refresh the whole CEN network and expand broadband and do other things. As a state agency, they can't lobby for this. And I will forward off kind of the five projects that they're seeking ARP or ARPA, depending if you're a town or the state, money that is not in competition with the towns. It's out of the state project, but they need kind of support to make sure that this goes forward. And it's in our best interest to have CEN strong for our schools and libraries and some expansion. So this may be more for the whole CROG policy board versus the exec committee, but I'll forward it off to Pauline so she can, you can all decide whether it warrants being added for discussion on the agenda.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I could just make a point. Krog was very active in advocating to get broader regional access and town access to the Kinetic Education Network. As you recall, like 10 years ago, schools were free, private universities were free, and municipal services paid full freight, or municipal governments paid full freight. So we, Scott Chanley and I and others, spent a lot of time, and John too, with the legislature, so we got that changed. So my suggestion, Madam Chair, and others in the call, would be to incorporate that into the broadband element right up front, because that's been a major issue. Krog's shared services in the last 5 years have really depended a lot on broadband access. So I think it's a very close fit with our broadband piece. So I'll have a look at what John sends us. And with the chair's permission and with Legislative Chair Jason Bowser's support, you know, I'd suggest we add that to the agenda once we have a look at it. So that's my suggestion.
Thank you, Lyle. I agree with that very much. I think this is an incredible asset, and we have to be the ones to lobby for it, especially if CEN can't. So, John, thank you for bringing that up, and thank you for forwarding those elements.
Right. It's coming to Pauline right now. So,
okay, perfect.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
It kind of as a follow-up to John's point and to the one I made in my introduction, that's kind of exactly what I'm talking about in terms of having a broad concept that we're advocating for with a specific action item to move forward on. So I think that's a great thing to task Kathy with as we move forward.
Thank you, Jason. I agree. Absolutely.
Madam Chair, this is Peter Souza. I have a question.
Sure.
Hi there. Could someone explain to me the process of DOT delegating? Is that actual legislative action, or that cannot be done administratively by the governor?
No. I'm familiar with this because I actually had it done in another state, and you had experience in another state too, Peter. Nothing is required. The state DOT can delegate to MPOs or even units of government below them. It's a memorandum of agreement, and there's almost no scope limitations on it at all. DOT is still responsible for the performance of the task. So a couple of examples would be smaller project management and acquisition of rights of way and certain kinds of engineering services. And it would be a written MOU. It might be worth our while to come up with a standard format so we don't have to have it run through legal every single time we do one. But there's no federal prohibition. In fact, many, many states delegate to MPOs and then to counties below that to get things done. So they would say, you know, right away of X million dollars or a project of X million dollars, below that threshold, it goes through a delegation process. And this, I think,
we often do the right of way work ourselves.
Sure.
Because right. We have relationships with the citizens, and they often get them waived fees, and we'll put up a fence or we'll push.
I guess my question was, is it something that has to wait for the General Assembly action there? Should we be promoting that, you know, and advocating for that through the governor in the commissioner's office?
Madam Chair and Peter, we have. Rob recalls our call with the deputy commissioner on this. So we are already talking about this, but this would be a matter of getting a Krog board behind it. There's no real legal impediment to it, but I think maybe a little nudge from the Transportation Committee might help in this direction.
Okay.
Because they're going to be going through, DOT has two challenges. They've got to absorb a massive amount of new federal money, which is a huge challenge, and Mark Mountain is going to be working on that, and they're potentially losing up to 20% of their middle management staff. So this is a matter of streamlining things to get smaller projects out of the way so they can focus on the big stuff.
Yeah, I just wanted a clarification on process. I'm 100% behind this concept. I just, you know, if I can do anything to help with, I'll do that now.
Yep, I understand. I think towns would happily move along with that. But thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Lyle. All good points, and we will, I'm sure, be paying attention to that and working towards making this happen. All right. Any other points on the legislative agenda? All right. Thank you all for your input on that. And I'm sure that discussion will continue at the full board. Legislative update, Kathy.
Yeah. Hi. So as of yesterday, there still is no decision on the format or how the session, which begins on the 9th, is going to be run. As 2 weeks ago, even I would have been comfortable saying, if not all, most would be in person. I'm not very comfortable that that's how it's going to happen. What we're hearing is that they're going to wait till the very last minute. Somebody earlier mentioned talk about this this surge suddenly stopping. You know, you read just as much about the opposite. So that's just completely up in the air. Democrats were planning a caucus today, not in person, but a virtual caucus. We're going to have some folks in and try to start working some of this out. Not the least of which are the executive orders of the governor. And you may all have read that. There seems to be some communication gaps in what's happening. The governor made a comment about the legislative leaders working on it with them, and several of the legislative leaders said, not with us, we haven't heard anything. So that law remains to be seen. I think I think some of them will be continuing. By and large, most of them will be allowed to go by the wayside. They've already apparently unofficially decided that one of them, the eviction moratorium, is not going to be passed on any longer. The rest of them, again, will remain to be seen depending on what's happening in their districts. One thing that is interesting and circles back somewhat to the DOT conversation, almost always by now, the agency's proposals, which need to go from the agency to OPM and then governor staff, usually they're made public by now, and they have not been. And we have heard that maybe the end of this week, but most likely not until the middle of next week, will they be made public. I have a very unofficial draft of DOTs, which I can forward to anyone who might want to take a look at it. It's not officially their proposal yet. And as I mentioned, OPM has not approved anything yet, and nor has the governor's office. So all those agency proposals, which form a base of the baseline of what the session will look like, nobody has seen them yet, including actually most legislators. So there are a lot of things that tend to be lagging behind. It's a short session, and the executive orders are going to take it. There also remains the expectation that whether it's live or virtual, the governor will be proposing his mid-budget adjustment package on the first day of session. If you remember, on the long sessions, they wait until February, but on the short sessions, the governor tends to make that. And with all, as everybody knows, all that extra money, the arguments now for an unusual period of time will be where to use the money and how to use it, as opposed to I want money. So that right now still remains for the 9th of February and opening day.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. Yeah. So is there, are you getting an idea of whether there is an appetite for the governor to renew that executive authority on February 15th, or do you expect it will be terminated?
I believe many of them are going to be terminated. That seems to be, you know, what everyone is signaling. Legislators are saying if something changes or if something goes more dramatically wrong, we'll be in session and we can turn around an executive order. You know, we can make some changes pretty quickly and pretty efficiently. So there doesn't seem to be any real push to expand most of them.
Okay, thank you. All right. Any questions, comments for Kathy? A little bit of an unknown period right now.
Right now. And part of it is, and it just my opinion, and I think we all see it right in our day-to-day, without that ongoing face-to-face sidebar conversations, all those communications changes the dynamic so dramatically. And after all this time, legislators are feeling it as well.
Yeah, I think so many places are feeling, we talk about the hallway talk or the parking lot talk, you know, and you just don't have that. And it's just a lot of connection and information. So, and collaboration, all of that.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
It's so much easier to argue over Twitter, right?
Absolutely. Snippets and bits. Yeah. Mm. And especially anonymously. All right. Anything further for Kathy? I don't hear anything or see anything. So we will go to other business. Is there anything out there for other business for anybody on this?
Sure. I think we need to keep a real watchful eye on the politics of giving away our money to get reelected. A lot of the discussions about, well, let's eliminate the car tax and not give you any money. A lot of legislators think that we are flush with cash. Those that got a lot of federal money, it's one-time cash. And what happens next year when it's gone? And if they take away our property taxes on cars, I also want to just warn people. We had a preview of it with our supplemental bills, but used vehicle values went up 27% last year. New car vehicles went up 15% last year. Just wait till those car tax bills go out this year. I mean, it's going to be a budget balancer for us, but the citizens are going to freak out, just absolutely freak out when the car tax bill goes up. They always expect as the car gets older, it goes down. Not going to happen this year. It's going to go up and substantially. And we're going to take incredible heat for that. And any discussion about property tax reform seems kind of just not happening. CCM could not reach agreement on their plan. It's not dead yet, but I'm not so sure life support is the is even a valid thought right now, because it's election year. Nobody wants to do anything big. But what people do want to do is give away our money. And we're going to have to be vigilant on that and make sure that they understand that our debts, our COVID expenses far exceed the money that we got back. I mean, my ambulance fund is $700,000 in a hole because we had to go to 24/7 ambulance. My rec program, even recovering, is still, you know, $100,000 in a hole. I mean, we got big holes, and I got $3 million, and that doesn't even talk about doing anything for school air, which the state doesn't want to do. So I just think we have to be really careful, because it's really easy for them to give away our money.
Really, really important points, very valid and very concerning. So you're right. And you know, I appreciate your raising that. That's a difficult subject, and it's something that we really have to share. So, anything else? All right. I don't hear any. But John, thank you. And we should just start putting together some of those. The car tax thing is real, and it's going to hit middle income people most dramatically that drive used cars. So that's the. So, all right. Well, I think I need to, I want to say thank you very much to Lyle for your leadership, your friendship, the contributions that you've made to the region, to CROG, to our community. I am so appreciative of all you've done, and your impact and your imprint is all over this region. And I just am so grateful. And for us, we just received a brownfield, well, we're working towards receiving a brownfield grant, right? Near the fast track. I mean, yep. That was a lot of you and the potential development there and what we're seeing. We are seeing a big transformation in that quadrant, southeast quadrant of town for us. And so, and we think that's important to the region, not just West Hartford and Hartford, but to the whole
region. Thanks for your kind words. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And thank you to Pauline for your leadership and for handling things and doing a lot of the legwork. So appreciate it. And, we really are grateful to you. And it's so weird, but welcoming Matt, you know, so it's a funny dynamic because we're winding up on one end and gearing up on the other. So I think Krog is in very good hands. So looking forward to his leadership. So.
Thank you, Mayor.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. So if there's nothing further, I'm looking. All right. Everybody stay healthy, be well, and make a motion to or is there a motion to adjourn?
So move, Madam Chair.
Second.
Coleman.
Motion's been made and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Be well. Take care. Bye.
Be well.
Be well.
Take care.